The WWE Universe wants change.
And we're back.
No, we're not back yet.
So you fucked up.
You can't just start and you have to wait for everyone quiet. You had to wait for everybody else.
You said, are we back?
And be in the room.
And I can't fuck up because this is going to be cut out. All this right now is going to be cut out. So it doesn't even matter. Look at this. I can say whatever I want right now. It's going to be cut out. Bullshit.
I think it's a giant floating keyboard. And what buttons are you pressing?
Cut the bullshit out button. Come on.
Oh, man. Okay. We're going to keep that audio.
No. So no.
Know what the fuck up Chris is. All right. Now we're back. Officially. And we were just touching before on what happened during the Chicago Raw and actually talking about how that's going to lead into some things and how that could be the beginning of some storylines or the turning point of some storylines going into the media.
And then after Chicago Raw, Authority comes out. It's Triple H and Stephanie. Mm. And Stephanie gets booed. Mm. She booed out the fucking building. It's just ridiculous how much they boo her. You can barely hear her talking on the mic. It's sad because Stephanie McMahon is
Steph.
Oh goodness. Let's take a moment to pause on how good Stephanie is.
Okay.
I would like to see her in Triple H's trunks. But anyway.
What?
That's what Daniel Bryan said. That wasn't just fetish. That's what Daniel Bryan acts.
That's right. I forgot about that. Triple H's response is classic, though. He's like, first of all, I'm pretty sure she'd kick your ass anyway. But, so Stephanie in particular got booed out of the freaking, basically got booed out of the arena. Like, you couldn't even hear her speak. And Triple H had to really raise his voice to be heard. And he was trying to absorb all the chants with a smile. But I think I saw, like, if you look at his face, like, you kind of see he was a little bit annoyed. Actually annoyed because, I mean, you know, his wife was getting interrupted. He couldn't even cut the promo. And it was like the crowd would all of a sudden hush whenever Daniel Bryan brought the mic up. And, you know, that leads us pretty directly into what's coming for WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans.
You mispronounced that.
Excuse me, in Nolens.
Thank you.
Nolens. And, Daniel Bryan gonna have to come off that vegan thing for a night, eat mad Popeyes.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure no one in fucking Nolens is eating from Popeyes.
Tonight's Slam of the Week brought to you by Popeyes.
Fine, so what do they have down there? Sonics?
Wow.
Joking, kidding, but it's gonna lead pretty directly into WrestleMania 30, so I want to get some impressions from the crowd here.
Right.
A little round table we've got as to how the match card is shaping up, and I want to start with Bob because Bob is the only one of the five of us who is actually going to New Orleans for Mania, and I am so sorry you spent that money.
So sorry.
All right. At least it's going to be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Nolens.
I went to the Miami Mania, and even that, I mean, that wasn't a great match.
I kind of felt sorry for you guys. I gotta be honest.
No, it's still awesome. It's a shitty Mania is still Mania.
No.
I mean, no. That's true because even the WrestleMania we went to in Jersey,
that was
walking
one. It was in Jersey.
That parking lot,
Jersey,
was one of my best moments
maybe
I ever had in my entire life.
I just.
Yes, the crowd,
that part
before the
crowd,
Mania started,
that, energy just
that was
around
great.
There was a lot of
was
energy,
amazing.
But the people, because if you remember, I was sick off my ass that day.
Yeah.
I was feeling like hell, but getting there and just feeling the vibe and everything, I felt great. But then I'm talking about the quality of the actual show.
Yeah, it was a Raw level match.
It was not even Raw level. This is
This
is it felt like an extended Sunday Night Heat. Like, it was really
Sunday Night Heat.
Come on.
Ouch. D'Lo Brown came out. That'd
be a great fucking WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would.
Fuck
you.
You messing with the real deal now.
I do agree. Last year's Mania was not good. But the year before that, I thought every match... The year before that, WrestleMania 27. Or...
28.
Yeah.
28 was
Miami.
28 Miami.
The Rock's WrestleMania.
I thought it was amazing while I was there. Mm-hmm. Then I got home and I watched the matches. The matches didn't really live up. Some of the matches did. Some of them didn't live up to what I thought.
Most of them
didn't. CM Punk versus Undertaker was great.
That was
ours. Yeah.
I just have a lot of fun going, no matter what. So when I bought the tickets, obviously I'm hoping fucking WrestleMania 30. It's an anniversary. It's got to be amazing.
We should have been in New York, but that's another topic.
Yeah. So we, I was feeling really down when it was clear that Daniel Bryan probably wasn't going to be in the title picture for WrestleMania. And we were going to get Randy Orton, and then knowing Batista was coming back, won the Royal Rumble, so that's probably the title match. Really pissed me off, and, had I known that going in, I probably wouldn't have bought the tickets or thought twice about it.
Right.
But now we're getting into the lead-up, and we have a pretty good idea of what some of the matches are going to be. I'm looking more forward to it now. Bautista and Randy Orton aside, it's Daniel Bryan and Triple H, clearly going to be one of the most important matches of the night. If that does happen, it's not confirmed. The only confirmed matches are Randy Orton and Bautista, and
I think they might be Money in the Bank back to
there could be Money in the Bank, but I'm just going off of what we have
literally
the feuds,
booked.
The feuds that are building up. Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, if Daniel Bryan gets a win, it's going to be a great, Mania moment. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan loses, I'll be fucking pissed. And
If Bryan loses, we riot.
Yeah, exactly. I think that might actually happen.
It's Triple H. Triple H does go over everyone.
If Triple H goes over at all on that Mania, people are going to go fucking insane.
Yeah, I think that should be...
We're not allowed to curse on this.
No, we can't. We can curse.
Curse.
I think that Bryan Triple H has the potential to be really cathartic. It's really going to be a chance for the crowd to let loose and feel some relief from the oppressive thumb of the authority.
Other matches I think we're going to see for the IC belt, we're probably going to see Big E versus one or both of the... Real Americans.
I'm going to call that to be the pre WrestleMania match.
Oh, no. That's going to be match of the night.
Pre-WrestleMania match.
If Triple H is going to be
the pre-WrestleMania match.
That's probably going to be the match of the night, though. I think a triple threat match for the not if IC title.
Side note here, Real Americans breaking up. I'm kind of upset about that because I love the group.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you guys noticed on their track jackets, they have nicknames on them.
What? Yeah,
Jack Swagger says Big Hoss. Cesaro's used to say Tony, but I guess now that they don't call him Antonio anymore, I won't say that. But I just love that about them, and I wish WWE
they were a great tag team.
Sold those.
Oh, which, man. On a side note, are they destroying the tag team? Because all the tag teams are breaking up. The primetime players broke up. Shield is breaking up. Real American.
Let's go back to that.
That's why I said on a side note, but yeah.
Obviously, like you said, the Shield's going to break up.
That'll probably be a triple threat.
Yeah,
right?
That'll be a triple threat. I don't know if we'll see.
If they handle it correctly, that could be one of the. That could probably be. That could be match of the night.
Yeah, I agree with that being awesome.
The Shield facing each other for the U.S. Championship.
I probably wouldn't even expect the belt to be on the line, honestly.
I would expect the belt to be on the line.
I'd expect the belt to be on the line.
It's past time for it to be defended seriously.
And I think it would change hands.
Probably would go to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't want him to have the U.S. title. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I feel like the U.S. title is such garbage that it doesn't even need to be a part of it.
Well, no, but I think that if they handle this correctly, whether they keep it... First of all...
It could be a step to bring it back.
I think that a Shield triple threat match for the U.S. Championship cannot be a losing situation, no matter who it goes home with.
Right.
Because whoever has that belt is going to bring prestige to it if it's defended regularly. The problem with Dean Ambrose's reign as U.S. champion has been that he has been so focused on being a part of the Shield that none of them really have a solo career right now.
Right.
The Royal Rumble was Reigns, sort of coming out party, and they're really they're moving fast to develop a solo career for him so they can push him. But Dean Ambrose hasn't really seen any solo action whatsoever. Every time he's had a solo match, the Shield has been involved in some way, shape, or form. And I think that works well for the unit that they are and what they're doing, but I think that no matter who walks away with it, you're not going to have the Shield anymore. You're going to have three separate entities, and all three of them, in their ways, can work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are workhorses, and they can carry those titles, the IC title, the US title, for a very long time. Roman Reigns, if he wins a US title, is just going to be a stepping stone. He's going to carry it for a few weeks, maybe a few months, and he's going to drop it and go into big things because they want him to be the next big thing.
He's big.
He's got the perfect look.
The Rock's cousin.
Somehow tangentially related.
Samoans
are tangentially related. Which Samoan is not related to them. I think that whoever would come out of a match like that could really bring some prestige back to the U.S. title, and I think and to themselves. And I think that that match could go from creating out of the ashes of a supergroup, you could create three real superstars if they know what to do with them.
I think so too, because in my opinion, Seth Rollins, they're all fantastic at what they do.
Yeah,
I do think Roman Reigns is the most limited, but he's got that look. As far as moveset wise.
And he's still fast. Yeah, and like he can move around, he can get hit.
He's still a fantastic wrestler.
I love when he got hit and like it was a devastating blow, but he landed on his ass, like you know, that shit was funny and like good.
Yeah.
Like it looked good.
And he's not afraid to take bumps, which is a big guy. Right. Most of them don't like bumps.
Right.
And he's also when they had that match, I don't think it was this week's Raw, but it might have been the week before, where it was supposed to be Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt,
mm-hmm.
without their boys.
And then it just devolved into...
Yeah, so Roman Reigns goes down by himself, thinking Bray Wyatt's going to come down by himself.
Right.
Bray Wyatt comes down with the Wyatt family, and it's clear that the Shield isn't going to come out to save him.
Right.
So he just has, like, this look on his face and the way he's carrying himself. You would have thought he was one of the Spartans in 300.
Right, yeah.
It's like, fuck it. I'm going to take as many guys as I can. I'm going down. I'm just going to take all three. I mean, and then the Shield made the save halfway through the match. But he's fantastic that way. I think Seth Rollins is the best all-around wrestler.
Yes.
Of the three. Even though they push him as more of the high flyer or architect, as they keep calling him, whatever that means.
I think they all excel.
You should build buildings.
I think he puts the ring together.
That's sturdy construction. That's why it hasn't broken down recently. But I think that they all excel at something different. I think that Dean Ambrose has the kind of personality that can take him really, really far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He reminds me so much of Brian Pillman.
He reminds me
so much of him, mm-hmm. and he's got that, but then he's got that sort of Regal-esque moveset in the ring. Like, there are a lot of similarities. I see a lot of Regal in him. I see a lot of Finley in him.
Yeah.
Rollins,
I think of him as controlled chaos.
Right. Yeah. And they said about him, as a matter of fact.
What you want to see from a guy. Like, it's almost like watching Heath Ledger as the Joker wrestling.
Right. That's actually really, I would never have thought of that. That's a really great analogy. Yeah. He really does kind of come off that way.
He's the perfect bet.
Yeah, he really is, and I think he could be one of the biggest heels that they come across if they handle him correctly. Seth Rollins has.
And I mean, that match is going to get this is awesome chant
before the match even starts.
Which is what we were getting with the Wyatt family for Shield.
Right. But I think that match has, if they do it, has a potential to steal the show and a setup for something so much bigger later on for all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, if they could just bring that into ideally, what I would want to see out of that Shield breakup, I think they had that triple threat match, and I think what I would want to happen, or what I think would be best for it to happen, is that Dean Ambrose actually still walks away champion, for a couple of reasons. Number one, because I think that he would probably be the best to carry that belt. Roman Reigns would end up discarding that belt very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Ambrose could stick with it for a very long time, and he could make it mean something. And I think that, you know, him being the heel, you could really throw a lot of great faces against him. You could throw Cesaro against him, that if Cesaro's coming into face terms, and
mm-hmm.
you could throw, oh man, Kofi Kingston. If they could throw Kofi Kingston at Dean Ambrose again,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have that feud actually mean something this time, because it didn't. It was part of a wider storyline last time. But I think if they could really have the two of them go toe to toe, and I would really want Roman Reigns to separate off and do his own thing for a while, and get into some whole high-profile feuds between putting him in a title picture. And I think that Seth Rollins gravitating toward the IC title is a perfect fit. Seth Rollins reminds me so much of all these old IC champions like Ricky Steamboat and Savage. I think Rollins is probably the guy who is most capable of pulling off an IC title match like that now. You know what I mean? So I think that, and also that Rollins having the IC title could lead to such a great unification match if it ever came down the road. You know, even if they were off parallels doing their own thing for a while, leave them alone for a couple of months. They don't run across each other or anything like that. And then have it come back to that. You know what I mean?
I almost feel like it'd be nice, because this happens with every faction. You know, they break up and then they hate each other.
Yeah.
But the Shield, like, they break up. It'd be nice to see them, like, in a Royal Rumble a year from now. Like,
they're in the ring
and they're like,
hey!
All right. They do the stare down, and then they're like, all right, let's clean house again.
Yeah. Right.
And then,
right.
You know, just
like good old times.
Just one more time. You know, and even if they had a storyline where the finish of the three of them was amicable, I think it would still be, you'd still be able to play it off.
Yeah, it'd still be fantastic.
You know, with all the history that those guys have, I think you'd still be able to, you know, to have the three of them, you know, one of these little backstage vignettes they do, and have them talking about, you know, the breakup and sort of wishing each other well or whatever it is they do. And not even talking, just having them in the ring after that match and, you know, doing that fist bump thing they do and then just walking out separately.
It's going to be so cool when they all come out to the ring at the exact same time.
With the same music.
Spots. Yeah.
From different spots in the crowd.
They're going to have Roman Reigns come out from the stage, center. They will.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
They will, and have Ambrose and Rollins come off from each side. I think that you know, that could be really iconic. That could be the Mania moment for this Mania.
It's a high probability.
And
Other matches on the card is going to be Cena. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that I was going to go right back to the other matches of the card.
Cena and Wyatt family, or Cena and just Bray Wyatt,
Cena and Bray Wyatt family.
Bray Wyatt.
You know,
whatever.
It's a thing. They're doing good promos against each other. They haven't wrestled each other. I don't know how they're gonna work together, because they're such different styles. I feel like, and both of them feed off their opponents more than other wrestlers. I feel like.
Yes.
So
for both of them to have to feed off each other hurts.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're bad wrestlers. I'm just saying they tend to adapt more to the style of whoever
they both tend to work around. But I think Bray Wyatt is more like that than Cena is, because Cena has, you know, 12 years of experience to draw on, and when he first came around, he had a much more robust moveset than he does now.
Oh yeah,
and there's a lot of stuff for him to draw on, and he showed us during Money in the Bank 2011 that he can get on the mat with a guy like CM Punk and wrestle effectively. So I think that if anybody's going to work around somebody, I think it's going to be Bray Wyatt sort of working around what Cena does.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's going to be the lead on that match.
Oh, completely.
And not just because he's a bigger star, because there's more for him to work on, to work with, than I think Bray Wyatt has. Because Bray Wyatt's wrestling style, if you've noticed, is very, it's a little haphazard. It's not to say that he's a sloppy wrestler, because he's not. He's not sloppy. His moves are crisp.
I think it's part of his gimmick, but I can never actually tell.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he is. I think that it's made to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at his moveset, it's a lot of. I think one of the announcers said it, that what he does most of the time is throw himself at his opponent, and it's true. He doesn't grapple a lot. He doesn't even strike a lot. It's a lot of running strikes. A lot of splashes.
He was doing that even back when he was Husky Harris,
right? Which we don't talk about anymore.
He still talks. Husky Harris was a good wrestler. I liked him when in the Nexus.
Athletic fat guy.
Yeah, he was good in the Nexus.
I didn't love Husky Harris, but I like
Nexus went downhill quick. But he was good in it.
But I love the Bray Wyatt thing. And speaking of Nexus, just to throw this out there, Bad News Barrett.
Oh, no, we don't talk about it. No.
Can we talk about it? Dave Bruin Barrett.
It was pretty funny the week that he came out and his podium kept messing up.
Yeah, right.
I hate the gimmick sometimes, the gimmick. Though. I feel like they lost a huge opportunity with him to get some heat.
during that barrage.
Not even, well, not even.
Barrett!
Royal Rumble this year. And for 30, should have been Bad News Barrett.
Oh, man, it really should have been.
That would have been heat.
If he just like, came out with the microphone.
Yeah. Bad news.
The bad news.
Daniel Bryan's not coming out. Oh yes.
After that, it doesn't matter what he says or does. We're all going to...
Right, like, we're all going to want to see him get his due. But
I mean, he's a fantastic wrestler.
He is. I thought he was going places, but...
They buried him. I still can't understand exactly what happened.
The thing with him, like, every time I feel like he's getting back up, he just...
They don't really want him anywhere in particular, but... Because you mentioned the Nexus, I thought of him, but... I think that, going back to Bray Wyatt and Cena, I think that... Wyatt's going to work around what Cena does because Wyatt's moveset is slightly more limited right now. And we're going to see the opportunity for him to do more. And I think all these weird postures he does and shit like that can work into his moveset, you know, pretty well. I think we're going to see a lot of that. But
Hogan is hosting the thing. He's going to come out during the Cena Wyatt match. Big boot Cena. WrestleMania 31.
Can Hogan still walk?
Oh,
can Hogan he still big boot?
This Monday, by the way, I don't know what it is.
He's probably.
I do have a feeling. Yeah, he's either going to have something with the Real Americans, or he will give the big boot to one of the Wyatt family's members.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know.
I see him doing a move just because he's there.
Probably right? a boot.
He'll do something because he doesn't do appearances without something. Even The Rock didn't do an appearance without Rock bottoming the match.
Well, that was supposed to set up Cena versus Rock.
Rock's in
one
and
two.
Shape
Except,
the
you
whole.
Know, when he was champion, you know, then he'd just show up.
Right, then he would just show up.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Then he would, via satellite.
Then he would just show up via satellite and do a pre-recorded promo because he couldn't do anything else. And it was
busy.
And it would still suck
from the G.I. Joe retaliation.
So, is that...
So, what are some other... Like,
I was gonna
that's
say,
only,
right,
like,
roll.
Six... Six All right. matches we have so far?
Let's see. We're going to have the gimmick match of the night.
What's that?
Total Divas, I guess? Oh,
they weren't as last.
They got cut from the last WrestleMania card, as a matter of fact. They were on
it. Which wasn't even going to be a Divas match. Not even
was it
a
mixed,
Divas championship.
Mixed tag
like
match,
mixed
right?
Tag
oh, that's probably going to be.
There were two of them. There was the mixed tag, but there was another one also.
I think that got cut. Even
that got cut before. Yeah. That got cut before because if you watch the,
I think it was going to be Caitlyn versus AJ.
Yeah, and they no. There was so the mixed tag match was Tongues of Funk, and the
Cheerleaders. Yeah.
With I'm forgetting
Bella
who,
Twins and Rhodes Scholars.
Right, but they were supposed to be another Divas match. They got cut from the card because if you watch Total Divas, they mention it. They have a scene.
Who watches Total Divas?
I don't, but I remember seeing the commercial for it, and they show that scene.
I've seen an episode.
And they show that scene during the commercial where where Natalia's on the phone with her family saying having to tell that she got cut from the car.
No. See that I've seen that episode. She was never gonna have a match. There was no build up around her. At that point, her character was just farting all the time. But no, that was just storyline within the show to make you feel bad for Natalia. There was never anything planned. She just showed up the weekend of WrestleMania and was like, oh, you mean I'm not on the card for WrestleMania after having no build-up for the last 6 months? I'm shocked. show made me hate her, too.
That whole show is, I think, stupid, and I don't think I can stand any of the women that are on that show.
It's a nice way to see. The reason I watch it is because, one, the Funkadactyls are hilarious in real life.
Are they really?
And Jimmy Uso, or Jake... Whatever Uso is dating,
married to
Naomi is fucking hilarious.
I'll
and
bet.
You just like I hated Cameron because she was on Tough Enough, and you know,
right in that
Alicia versus Melina Gray.
My favorite match is
Melina
and Alicia Fox.
But she is hilarious.
On her
on
case,
that show.
It was a good match.
That was a super
good match.
It only happened like a week before they recorded that episode. But anyway, if there is a Divas match, it's going to be the same Divas match we've been seeing the last like 8 months. Like,
what is up with their build up and their abandonment of AJ Lee?
Because they want AJ Lee to stay where they are, but they still want to have the Total Divas be the face and promote Total Divas, so they can't push AJ more.
Let's back up a couple months to probably around like SummerSlam when AJ dropped the female pipe bomb.
Right.
Oh, so good.
The problem with that, and I feel like, is the Bella Twins. If you watch that, they're screaming the entire time. They're not letting her talk, right. even though she has the microphone. They're screaming, "Say it to our face," and right just there. Like they're just drowning. Like they don't know how to act during a promo when they're not heels. They don't know how to be faces.
They didn't know how to act when they were heels.
I agree.
They didn't have to act. Yeah. They just had to be twins. To be
there, right? Yeah. But they're
everyone knows like, twins are evil.
And then they're trying to say that Brie is improving so much. And yeah, she's gotten marginally better, but she's been in the company for 7 years. Right. You should, if you're doing anything for 7 years, you should be.
Well,
pretty
she wasn't
damn
on Daniel Bryan for 7 years, so.
But that's the reason. But you know what? That's the problem with the Bella Twins in particular is that it's so obvious the reason why they still have jobs. Yeah. There is not a single person on Earth who could deny it. The reason they have jobs is because they're both with the two of the most powerful men in the company. I really, there's no wrestling skill on their part. Brie, both of them, when they work in the ring, their in-ring work is sloppy as hell. AJ suffered a concussion because of Brie. They're sloppy as shit. They're as bad as Oksana.
Concussions are part of the job.
Yeah, but they're part of the job. But if you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're doing it correctly, those kinds of injuries are to be avoided. Because I remember years ago, watching MTV has that show True Life, and they had an episode for pro wrestlers, and they followed Triple H, and are we allowed to talk about China? China?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you're allowed
to check with
China.
Our producers.
Sorry, Joni Lara.
When they were following Triple H and China, and Triple H made a very interesting statement, and they were talking about the injuries. Because I think that they were following this amateur guy who was just starting out. He was going to school, as a matter of fact. He was in school. And there was a part where he was really banged up after only a couple of weeks. And then they sort of cut to Triple H talking about how it is being injured and all that stuff. And Triple H said that what pro wrestling is the art of causing pain without injury. Mm-hmm. And he said that, and, he goes, because people think that, if you're doing a move right, it doesn't hurt. That's not the case. If you're doing a move right, it's supposed to hurt. When you land and it doesn't hurt, you know something is wrong. Oh. And that gets backed up by what both D'Lo and Draw said about that powerbomb all those years ago.
Yeah.
Is that D'Lo said that he felt something wrong during the drop. He knew something was off. Draw said the same thing. He goes, before he even hit the ground, he knew something was wrong. And then he hit the ground. He couldn't feel anything. That was it, And man, that sucked. Uh-huh. But inflicting pain without injury is what wrestling is about. Mm-hmm. And there are certain people who excel at that, and there are divas who have excelled at that. I mean, if you look back at Trish Stratus, one of the reasons Trish Stratus is so great is that she took that to a level we hadn't seen it before, and she could mat wrestle when she had the right partner. Mm-hmm. And her and Victoria were the first divas to have an all-out hardcore match.
I thought it was Victoria and Lita. But
No. It was, well, I remember Victoria and Trish Stratus having one. I remember Victoria getting up, and Trish Stratus was on the turnbuckle getting ready to drop some move. And Victoria hit her with a stop sign. I remember that. And I remember watching Trish fall, onto her ass on the turnbuckle and being like, damn, I didn't know divas could do this shit. And go ahead.
I think we should talk about the Divas in a different segment. Go back to Mania.
But on WrestleMania, matches for WrestleMania, tag match is going to have to be a tag match. Now, the Usos just...
Brotherhood, that's it.
But the Usos just won it on the Raw from the Outlaws, and then they defended it on the network?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They lose it? They lost it?
No,
I don't,
no,
they
didn't.
They took it.
Yeah, they're fine.
All right, so Usos...
Brotherhood. I think it's
but they're both faces.
Well, they'll turn one.
It doesn't matter. No, they don't. I
hope they don't turn the Usos.
That's the problem.
That's another problem with the booking is that why does it have to be heel and a face?
Because
people
don't understand other
things. Bring that up. So like we just went through all the WrestleMania matches, right? Like what there sounds iconic that's going to last the tale of time? Maybe the Shield triple threat match where. You got your main event, which is Orton and Batista, because nobody gives a shit about Batista. He's not a good wrestler. He's not going to make anything stand out.
Right.
Right.
There's the Lesnar Taker that has a shot, but that's because it's Taker. Anybody against Taker has a shot being iconic. He wrestles once a year.
Not Brock. He has a shot, but still.
Yeah, Taker might make that match. Triple H, Daniel Bryan, the only way that's going to be iconic is if it's like how Hogan versus The Rock is iconic just because they're two icons fighting, not because The Rmatch is good, because Triple H,
I think he's past his prime.
Yeah, but that's Daniel Bryan more than Triple H.
Right, but I think that that match is a bit peculiar because whether that's an iconic WrestleMania moment or not depends so much on the outcome of the match.
Yes.
Not so much what happens in it.
I agree.
Because the WrestleMania moment isn't going to be during the match. It's going to happen when if he beats Triple H and he gets up and yes, that's going to be the WrestleMania moment. You know what I mean? Yes. So I think that...
yes, I do.
No. Yes.
But the thing about iconic moments, though, is you can't always tell.
Right.
Like,
no,
WrestleMania
I agree. But
3, the match is Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat. Nobody going into that expected anything. Like, it was a lower card match.
Right.
You know, they're great wrestlers, but nobody expected that to be one of the greatest matches ever recorded.
I agree.
Steal the show. But I mean, at that time, though, the IC Championship was still relatively new.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't, but I'm just saying, like, on paper, you just think,
that's true. I mean, it was still called the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship.
So, yeah, no, I agree, too, that, like, obviously matches have the chance to, you know, come up out of nowhere and everything, and then later on thought of as iconic, but, like, for WrestleMania 30, I feel like you expected kind of what they used to do, where not only was it just a heel facing a face, it was the two most popular people in the company facing off.
Yeah.
And they haven't done that. I don't know. I can't remember last time. I'm sure it wasn't that long ago. Like one example.
Like 2011.
But like,
or maybe SummerSlam this year.
It's like imagine if WrestleMania 30 was Bryant CM Punk.
Oh man.
Right. So like, why didn't
think,
they
I think
just
it's,
came
I
in
think
the pants?
Yeah.
So like, so like this. I think this is also something that I was watching an interview with CM Punk, and he was saying, not that, but he was saying that like, you know, he's upset that WWE is so scared to make a change. Like, he sees that the fans want the change. Mm-hmm. They want Daniel Bryan now. CM Punk said in that interview that, like, a few years ago, he felt that it was like the fans wanted him, but he didn't get his shine.
Right.
And, fuck.
there's not, none of that happening this year.
Right.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Yeah.
You don't have what could happen. I mean, really, the iconic moment should be, it doesn't have to be a heel and a face, and I think that part of the problem with the booking now is that they think that automatically has to be it.
No, so actually, I heard that they're moving away from heel and face.
Well, they need to, it's not working.
They're still doing it, but if you notice, like, they do the most awkward heel turns just to make it that way.
Christian keeps one of those guys like Big Show who can just flip back and
he
forth.
Can, but I think his heel turns recently, the last 2 years or so, his heel turns have always been so sudden and so awkward because he always does it come like right off of some huge thing, right? The first time was off of winning the World Heavyweight Championship after never getting a shot at it. Mm-hmm. And it was this huge deal, Edge's retiring. It was this big, huge thing, and they could have run with it, and they should have run with it.
Well, they did.
No, they didn't. What they did was, remember that, I think they might have had a run plan for him, but Randy Orton came back from injury the next week.
And Orton had some great matches, but it
was never ending in Christian's favor, and
I think he won it back one other time, but
you notice that they wanted to push Orton so hard that they automatically did this really awkward heel turn.
Oh, completely, because at that time they wanted someone on Cena's level as the face of SmackDown.
Right, and that's exactly why they did what they did, and they're doing it again with Christian now with this little feud he's having with Sheamus, where it was like they both came back from injury at the same time, they're both fan favorites, and I think they're actually really both on the same level.
I think they're, like, Sheamus gets a lot of hate, but I think he's a decent worker.
He is.
He just gets placed in the same matches that we see, like, time after time. Like, how many times have you seen him versus Del Rio? How many times have you seen him versus Big Show?
Right.
It's like, give him new opponents, he can give up. Hell, if you were going to put Sheamus and Daniel Bryan together at some point down the line as, like, in a feud where they were Daniel Bryan was still pissed off about WrestleMania 20.
Okay, right.
Where he lost in 15 seconds.
Right.
People would eat that up immediately.
Oh, man, they wouldn't. That match is a fucking travesty. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't work like the Yes Movement.
Yeah.
It was before then,
but that was when people were like,
that's when people started taking notice, right? But I mean, this booking thing with the heel versus the face always having to be, and I think that they're losing out on a lot of great matches because they always feel the need to do that. And they ruin a lot of great matches by doing that. I think that Sheamus versus Christian could be a decent mid-card feud if they would have just let it run the way that it was and just, like, had it, you know.
But then how are the kids supposed to know who to root for?
But that's the beauty because everyone has a favorite. You don't always root for the faces because I remember
I want to rip apart the face, and what were you going to say, Paul?
No, I was saying that's what I was kind of blanked out on, was going back to that, like, the Attitude Era, Austin Rock, Austin Shawn Michaels, and, like, you know, it's like, you didn't know who you were rooting for. Right.
And sometimes you didn't even know who the face in that story was. It was like they were both so crazy with each other, and like, you know, a lot of great stuff was done when you, like, even when it was clear who the heel was, but it was executed so well that you just had to love him.
Right.
The two-man power trip. Come on, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
If that could have lasted longer, the
quadricep injury killed that. But, I mean, that was so great because it was so well implemented. It was like, I know I'm supposed to hate these guys right now, but Triple H and Stone Cold tag team. So crazy, and they work so well, those, you know. A Triple H would do the abdominal stretch and he would be reaching back toward Austin for, you know, to get leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And there was one point where one of the officials, it might have been Earl Hebner before he left, actually had to kick their hands apart at one point.
because they were
going crazy with it. And it had that great ring too, especially with their feud with Undertaker and Kane and that winner take all match and, you know, and the short run that came out of that. But I mean, you know, you have all these times where during the Attitude Era, especially, where it was fun to root for the bad guy.
Yeah,
and it's definitely not anymore because they paint the heels such a way now that it's impossible to really like them. I'm getting that we're running out of time signal for this segment,
I'm gonna wrap it up, B.
But I think that they're basically missing out on a lot of what they could do with Mania, and I think that the Mania you can have some really great things coming out of Mania going forward if they handle the matches correctly and they book the right matches, and I think that. The Shield match possibly happening and Daniel Bryan winning over Triple H could be huge, and I think that
possible undercard of Ziggler and Del Rio
possible that could also be a really good match because they both
had they put on really good
and Zack Ryder's gonna be there too matches. Okay,
sure. Zack Ryder's still around.
Oh man, he's still a thing. But we're gonna stop here and we're gonna run into our last segment actually. And we're just going to talk about where we see things going after Mania and what our picks, you know, what our actual picks for Mania are, just real quick from what the matches we know so far. And, you know, just, you know, wrap up all the tangents we've gotten into over the course of this. So stay tuned, guys, and we'll be back in a little bit.
Back after this commercial break.
Oh, I got to pee.